Time to bring in our man Bill Shanks. 93.1 FM in Macon, 99.5 FM in Warner Robins, also Macon.com. Hey, Bill, good morning. How are you, my man?
Good morning. How are you guys doing this morning?
We're doing well. We're a little bit anxious on what might happen here with Freddie Freeman. You got any insight on this? Are you waiting like the rest of us?
Yeah, kind of waiting like everyone else. Mark Bowman of MLB.com has been tweeting out that he has been led to believe that the initial report is that it was not a fracture. So that may be good news. Hopefully that's correct, and I'm sure we'll get some news sometime this morning about it. But it certainly did look very good. It looked like a carbon copy of what happened last year to it.
I know, and I hated the way he just, like, walked right to the dugout. It was like, oh, boy.
Yeah. Yeah, it was not good.
Were you watching it when it happened?
Yeah, I just couldn't believe it. I'm like, you know, all the good things are going on right now, and the last thing you ever could have dreamed that would have been just some nightmare scenario would be the same thing that happened to him last year to happen now. And so, you know, it's just it was incredible. It was like, you got to be kidding me. And I think we all kind of had that same reaction that he had. You could tell he was just like, you got to be kidding. Mm-hmm. This cannot be happening. And maybe it was that, and compared to pain, I mean, maybe it was just like, you got to be kidding. But hopefully we'll find out sometime today. And it was a weird day yesterday for them. I mean, they go and they have one of their starting pitchers fall out in the outfield when he was doing sprints. And Adelbal Sanchez had been very good for them in the couple of starts he had had. And then he's gone now for a while, and they'll have to pick a starter for tonight, probably Matt Whistler or Lucas Sims. And then to have Freddie get hurt like that, it's one of those crazy days in baseball that, you know, you have to prepare for the season, for the unexpected, and that was definitely one of those days yesterday.
Was this a situation where Flaherty's been, you know, swinging a great bat at third base, even though he's, you know, he's way above his skis right now for his career numbers? Would you move him to first with Camargo now called up, or what do you think they'll do if Freddie's out for, even if it's just a few games or an extended amount of time?
Yeah, that's probably one of the possibilities, David, that they could have is Flaherty has played 28 games at first base in his career, 12 starts. The other players on the roster right now is very limited time. I mean, Tyler Flowers will be back next week, obviously, 7 games. Nick Markakis, 6 games. Charlie Culberson, 4 games. Carlos Perez, the backup catcher, 2 games. Rio Ruiz, who was in AAA, 2 games last year. Rio was actually working out at first base some in the spring, and they liked what they saw from Rio Ruiz as kind of a backup, someone who could play first and third if need be. Preston Tucker played a little bit in the minor leagues, but never in the major leagues. I know he was working out at first base as well this spring. So that's the thought. If they wanted to do Tucker to first base and Acuna brought up to play left field at some point, I don't think they want to do that even tonight. I think they would want to – let's just say the diagnosis on Freddie is good, but he still needs to have a 10-day break, which I think – I can't imagine him avoiding the disabled list with that thing. But anyway, let's just say it's a 10-day disabled list thing where they would need someone for a while. I mean, I think they may try to get by with Flaherty at first base. But, boy, that power is just going to be gone. And then you would wonder if they would even in a couple of days, maybe before they go on the road trip to Cincinnati, if they would – let Tucker go to first base and have Acuna come up and play left field. I mean, there's just a lot of things, a lot of moving parts that they'll have to figure out. But I guarantee you today, before batting practice, Preston Tucker will probably be over there taking some grounders at first base again.
Bill, I'm looking at a graphic right now that aired on the broadcast last night. The Braves, also talking about stuff they did yesterday, brought in a player who, since 2010, has hit 272 home runs, which is tied for the most in Major League Baseball. The graphic here says last season he had 27 doubles, 23 homers, and 67 RBI with the Toronto Blue Jays. What it doesn't say there is he struck out 170 times. I'm talking about Jose Bautista. What do you make of that signing?
I'm much more interested in the fact that Austin Riley is getting closer to the big leagues as a potential third baseman. I think this is simply a low-risk signing that they – decided to do because of the relationship that Alex Anthopoulos had with Bautista. Bautista was on the market. He has power. Yes, he strikes out an alarming amount, and he's definitely not the player he once was. And they're just having their options expand a little bit with Bautista. Bautista also a first base possibility. Let's say it was a bad news on Freddie. Worst case scenario, he was out for an extended period of time. Bautista would be a candidate. And, you know, you'd need some power in the lineup if that were to happen where Freddie would be gone. So I think it's just a depth move. It's nothing more than that. Their preference is to have Austin Riley become a third baseman, and he's off to a tremendous start in Double-A, three home runs and 46 at-bats with two doubles, two triples, and a .420 OBP, and a .370 batting average. So they're probably much more interested in that possibility than getting extended playing time for Jose Bautista at third base. But, you know, you have someone on the market who wanted to come here. He's coming for a very low amount of money comparatively, and it's just another option. And because the relationship that Alex Anthopoulos has in the past with Bautista, I'm not surprised they talked to him over the winter. It was a possibility, and, you know, we'll just see how he does. He may not take the third base very well. We know he's not going to play the outfield because they already have a crowded outfield situation as it is now with Acuna obviously coming up at some point. So we'll see about the need for him, whether it's on the bench or in an everyday role for a short period of time. But I think it's just a depth move that it's a very low risk, and we'll see where it leads to.
What do you think ultimately happens with Markakis?
Well, if there was a market for him at midseason or before the trade deadline, they would explore it. I just don't believe that there's a whole big market for pending free agents anymore like there used to be. If there's an impact player, I mean, if Baltimore's off to a horrible start, if somebody wants to trade for Manny Machado for a short period of time, even if there's no guarantee he's going to go there, sure, there'll be a market for that, and Baltimore may get something for him. But there's just not a big market, I don't think, compared to what there used to be or what the assumption used to be for people like that, where you can get a whole lot for him. So a lot of people have wondered, well, if Acuna comes up and Preston Tucker goes to the bench, would they move Tucker to right field and let him get more playing time and then trade Markakis? Maybe. Maybe they would. Maybe they would want to see what Tucker could do in a more full-time role. I don't know. It may depend on what Markakis could get on the market, but you got to remember Markakis is a very respected player in that clubhouse. And I think what will happen, David, is he'll just simply play the last year of his contract in Atlanta and move on after the year.
So I guess a lot of it, too, would be if the Braves still at the trade deadline might be in it, or if they don't feel like they are in it, I guess, and then that would have a little bit to do with that as well. Do you think, though, Preston Tucker is a guy that is a guy that could be in the Braves' long-term plans?
I would say no, but I think I'm curious, like most people, about whether or not if he had some extended playing time, how he could do. You know, I think that there are concerns defensively with Preston Tucker, but there's no doubt that he can hit and he can contribute. He has had a good start to the season, but let's remember that a lot of that production has been in three games with three run home runs. So it's not like he's been as consistent as Ozzie Albies or Dansby Swanson, to be honest with you. He's had three really big swings, which are great. They really helped out. But so I'm skeptical about what he could do for the long term, but curious, I guess I could say. But I'll really be surprised if he gets that chance. I just think Markakis will be allowed to finish the year in his last year of his contract, and then he'll move on, and then Bryce Harper will be here next year.
Oh, there you go.
That's what I've been saying all morning, man. Bill, coming at it with the Bryce Harper take. And it's funny because I heard kind of in passing on Atlanta radio, they were talking about that when I was over there the other day. And, I mean, it doesn't seem that far-fetched. I mean, it seems apparently that there would be interest on both sides, and the Braves will have money to play with.
Well, I had an article about it 2 weeks ago, and it was mentioned first by someone, I can't remember who now, on Steve Phillips, I believe it was, on MLB radio, on satellite radio, XM or whatever, and I kind of laughed at first, and then I started thinking about it. I'm like, hold on, you know, why not? I mean, they're going to have 70 – I think they're going to have $75 million available. They got $65 million coming off the books. And then you add in the $10 million that they're down in payroll for this year compared to last year. So you could say that there's $75 million to play with. And I really believe that Craig Kimbrell is going to come back next year and be the closer. And maybe you're wrong. Maybe he stays in Boston. Maybe they offer him a amount that keeps him there. But I think Craig Kimbrell is going to come back. I think there's a possibility that Brian McCann comes back and is a part of this team next year in some role. I don't think it's going to be as a main starter, but it could be with a younger player at catcher who he splits time with. That's not going to be a significant amount of money. But let's just say even if they gave $20 million to Kimbrell and $10 million to McCann, which is probably high on both, they still have $45 million to play with. Well, or give 40 of it to Bryce Harper. I'd do it. I'd do it in a heartbeat. He's a great talent. He's an unbelievable player. They ought to be able to market the heck out of him, and there's just plenty of room for him to come. So I don't think it's far-fetched. I've talked about it for a couple of weeks, and like I said, wrote about it, and I think people are like I was originally. They just laugh at first. They're like, well, why not?
All right, Bill, I'm going to eat a little bit of crow here. Not a full serving, just a bite. Because it was only one start, but Julio Teheran looked very, very good at SunTrust Park the other night. Do you think that might have been the sign of him maybe figuring it out in terms of pitching there, or is this just something we're going to have to kind of bide our time and see with a few more performances?
I don't know. I mean, look, it's the Phillies. The Phillies are not very good. They're just. I know some of the people on the broadcast are trying to talk about how impressive the Phillies were. They're not a great team, in my opinion. Yeah, they got a lot of people who are batting about low 200 for crying out loud. But that being said, I think it was a good sign to see Julio have a good game, regardless if he was playing Chico's Bell Bonds at SunTrust Park, just to have a solid performance and to go out there and do well. And he is, you know, the stuff continues to be ordinary as far as not blowing anybody away, but is he learning how to be a different pitcher with the stuff that he has compared to not having that 93, 94, 95 mile an hour fastball like he did when he first came up, maybe. But it's just going to be a continued work in progress. And as he got better last year toward the end of the season at SunTrust Park, he had first two games were horrible. Now he's had a good start. And every time he pitches at SunTrust Park, everybody will kind of hold their collective breath to see how he does. But they need him to do well. Look, this team, I don't think they're going to win the division, but I think they can compete for a wild card for a while. And I think any team that's got a winning record in the summer months is going to be in that conversation. And if that is going to happen, Julio Teheran needs to do well, and Mike Buntanevich needs to continue to pitch well, and Sean Newcomb needs to continue to pitch well. And the Teheran's a big part of that equation. So we better hope that they're going to be successful this summer, that he does do well at SunTrust Park.
By the way, we yesterday were talking about the pitcher batting eighth and hadn't seen it as much this year. And guess what the Phillies did last night? Velasquez batted eighth. And I don't know, as Gabe Kapler's kind of off to a kind of a interesting start as far as being the Phillies manager. I don't know if he's been doing that on a regular basis or not. But what do you think of that with the pitcher batting eighth?
Well, I don't know. There's sometimes it looks like it makes sense, and I don't know what the results have been. You know, we're in such a results oriented situation now with baseball. You'd almost like to see, like if you're a general manager, if you'd like to turn to your analytics department and say, okay, go find me results of how this has worked. You know, has it been productive? What is the improvement, or what is the impact of your pitcher batting eighth? Is there any? Is there any impact or positive impact on having a let's say Ozzie Albies hitting ninth and entering Duarte first, or vice versa, or whatever, something like that, where you have, you know, speedy players like that? I don't know. I'd like to know what that research said, really, and. At times, it makes sense. It seems like, and I don't know. I'm not necessarily sold on it. And sometimes I wonder if it's just a gimmick. But again, I'd be real curious as to what the analytics said in that. And believe me, they have analytics for everything. And they probably have the answer for that, David. You know, it's probably out there somewhere.
I used to be dead set against it. I thought it was the dumbest thing because it meant the pitcher was always getting it at bat, one more at bat than somebody else in the lineup.
Yeah.
But I've actually come around to it a little bit. In the sense of if you've got a great, great hitter, say like when the Cardinals used to do it with Pujols, and if he's hitting third in the order, that means he's getting an at-bat in the first inning, and then he's the cleanup hitter essentially the rest of the game.
Yeah,
I can get behind that. If the Braves wanted to do that with Freddie, I mean, I could get behind that if he's hitting third. But other than that, it doesn't make sense to me. And I don't know enough about Herrera or whatever. You know, he's, you know, obviously a good young player, but does it, you know, is he the guy in your lineup that makes you want to hit the pitcher eight so he could be a cleanup guy the rest of the way? I mean, I don't know, but I just always think that's interesting. But I'm not as against it as I used to be. So I've come, but it has to be in certain conditions. If you have, though, Pujols hitting batting fourth, and the pitcher batting eighth, then again, then I think it's completely stupid. So,
well,
you know, that's exactly. Just my opinion on it.
Well, and you know, I had John Schombe, former Braves announcer, now with ESPN, come on my show one time and practically scold me for a discussion about lineup construction. And that was the stat view that lineup construction doesn't matter. And I'm like, okay, well, then you know what? Hit Brian McCann first. If you don't think it matters and you don't give a damn about lineup construction, let's just use the dartboard. And anyway, that conversation didn't end well. But that's a stupid, in my opinion, that's a stupid theory that I think some stat heads do have. And you know, but here's the thing. In the last couple of weeks, I had an article about this. In the last week or so, too, about when Acuna comes up. What are they going to do? And, boy, I tell you, you really run the gamut on that discussion, too, about what are Snit's options going to be. Now, initially, I expect him to probably hit him lower six or so. But let's just say, and, of course, the Freddie situation may impact that, but if Freddie's in there and you really think about, all right, if Acuna starts to hit, then what do you want to do? And, boy, I tell you, you can really get into some lengthy discussions about a number of Braves players. What do you do with the leadoff spot? Do you keep Ender there? Do you drop him down? Do you put Ozzy there? Do you flip-flop Ozzy and Ender? Do you put Acuna second? Do you keep Freddie third? Do you move him to fourth? And I even had someone in spring training talk with me about what if Ozzy Albies was put fourth. And the thought there, David, was, all right, let's say it's Ender, Acuna, and Freeman, and then Ozzy fourth, where you're kind of starting over again with another leadoff guy in that fourth spot. And at first I was like, huh? And then you start to think about that. And that was even before Ozzy hit five home runs in his first 15 games, you know. But there's so – I love the discussion about lineup construction. And
I do,
you know,
too.
Even Dansby doing well. Does Dansby creep back into the conversation now about hitting a little higher? You know, you won't protect him for Freddie. You want Acuna to be put in a spot where he's going to be successful. I mean, I had a chart last week where I had a Microsoft Excel spreadsheet, and I'm like doing out like seven or eight different lineups, and it's like, boy, that's going to be really interesting to see how they play around with that. I mean, they did a little bit in spring training, but I think now even with Ozzy's power that he's showing is a little bit different element with it, you know. And now Dansby, as I said, rebounding and doing well makes a little bit different element about it. So I love the discussion of lineup construction, and I think, but I would love to see some numbers on that of what the impact of having another guy at the bottom of the order does for the top of the order.
By the way, if Freddie goes on the DL, does he get called up?
Well, I don't know if it's a slam dunk because I think they still want to see a little bit more success from him. So I wouldn't be surprised if they did not call him up. And it's possible. It's very possible because they may be worried about that power thing. They may say, oh, my gosh, if Flaherty's at first, Camargo's at third, and we were not sure about Tucker being able to play first. Because remember now, this GM likes defense. Alex Anthopoulos really likes defense. And if he's concerned about that, with the Tucker being at first base compared to Flaherty, then if Tucker is, you know, in the lineup or what, and the power's just not there. I mean, they're not a huge power hitting team right now anyway, but, and Freddie's only got, what, one home run, two home runs, but he's still a huge threat. And could Acuña help that situation? That's something I'm sure they'll talk about the next couple of days if Freddie's out for any period of time.
Bill, you're the man. Always great talking to you. Interesting. Never a dull moment, I guess, with the Braves. Yeah, yesterday was certainly one of those. Sam's got one more thing.
I was going to say, you going to be over here on Saturday, Bill?
I will be there on Saturday, and cannot wait for a little football. It should be fun.
Yeah, and it's always good when there's football going on at Sanford Stadium, even if it is in April. It's always a good thing.
Yes, absolutely. Can't wait. Looking forward to it.
See you, Bill. Bill Shanks, the one and only, the host of the Bill Shanks Show, 93.1 FM in Macon, 99.5 FM in Warner Robins, and the Macon Telegraph, Macon.com.